You are always welcome to be part of that abundance of information at 414-1234, our local number. It's 800-926-8809 if long distance between you and us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email, and our Twitter handle is at WFSU Perspective. You know, right before Ronald J's news, we mentioned the French civil servant and member of the aristocracy over there, Alexis de Tocqueville, who visited the new American Republic way back in the 1830s. And a lot of things here really amazed and kind of confused him at the time. One of these, he wrote, was how nearly obsessed Americans were when it came to solving problems by working together. And here are his exact words, because he's often misquoted here. Americans use associations to give feats, to found seminaries, to build inns, to raise churches, to distribute books, to send missionaries to the antipodes. And in this manner, they create hospitals, prisons, schools, and finally, if it is a question of bringing to light a truth or developing a sentiment with the support of a great example, they associate. That totally flipped him out because they didn't do things like that in Europe. People waited for the government to pick up the mantle and move society onward. And not here in this country. Boy, a barn needs built, man. We're there. Up she goes. But nearly 180 years after de Tocqueville made this observation, do we still associate in this country? Well, to talk about it on this morning's Perspectives, we have some true joiners with us. And let's go around the table and meet them here. And by the way, we want to send out props first off to Roger Penholster, former Leon County School Board candidate and longtime local educator, who's now on the board of the Chairs Capitola Volunteer Fire Department. And Chief Joe Parks, he volunteered you. Aren't you a happy guy?
Yes, I am. Thank you for doing this show today, and I'm pleasure to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here, Chief. We also have Jerry Bush, Director of Volunteer Leon. It would not be a voluntary situation without you, Jerry, and thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
And we also have, and I will murder this, Ellen. I love what you did, though, with your business card, sending it out in a pronunciator built in here. Ellen Pekalkevich.
Very good, yes.
All right. I'm almost there. Yay. Thank you. And Ellen, of course, you are with United Partners for Human Services, so you coordinate an awful lot of voluntary activity around here, right?
Absolutely. The human services agencies in Tallahassee strongly depend on the strength of our volunteer community in Tallahassee, and I'm happy to report that it's very strong, and we would be lost without those volunteers who are helping elders, helping young children, helping deliver meals, doing literacy work, et cetera, and even administrative help. You know, so if someone out there is interested maybe in just helping in the back office, we definitely need help in that arena too. So we're talking about, in terms of human services, anybody you can think of, and you know, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Boys and Girls Clubs, Big Ben Cares, Appalachian Health Center, all of these are important, vital organizations to our community, and volunteers are providing over 650,000 hours a year, which equates to about $14 million if you use the wage of about $22 an hour. So it's not the minimum wage, because if it was minimum wage, it perhaps would be even a larger number or a smaller number, but greater number of hours. But so we use that as the basis of calculation. So again, and de Tocqueville is scattered, I think, throughout our thinking too, because we have used some of his quotes in reports that we've written. And one of the quotes is about, you know, America is great because it's good. And when it ceases being good, it will cease to be great. And we feel that in Tallahassee. We feel that our citizens are committed. And again, we couldn't do what we do. There would be many, many, many residents and citizens of Tallahassee who would not be getting vital services.
Well, we want to hear some of those success stories, too. And also, if we can prevail upon our listeners to share some of their success stories, if they have volunteered to be with various groups around town, and what they have found as far as that being a rewarding situation, not only for the people who receive those services, but also personally for them, what they get out of it. But before we get into the success, Chief, I know we got a challenge out there in Chairs Capitola. You guys need help right now, right?
Yes, we do. And it's an unfortunate situation, but over the years, we've gone from a total of 24 members down to about 10, 8 responding at this point. And so this is seeing not just at Chairs, but throughout the county stations. There's 6 of us. There's 6 different county volunteer organizations. And we've all seen a major drop-off. And what we're trying to do, our recruitment month is next month. We're going to kick off in April to try to get at least 5 new members to come in. We'll train you. We'll get you set up. And we'll be there to further continue our responding to the community. So let's talk about this. Let's see what we need to do to get people excited about volunteering again and volunteering for the little more dangerous side, perhaps, of volunteerism. So let's see what we can do.
What was the kind of rationale behind the attrition that you've had over there? Folks just saying, hey, look, I'm not interested anymore, or people aging out of this, or what's going on?
Well, it's a combination of that, Tom. It's very interesting because we have seen, you know, some of the long-term members kind of move out, and they've gotten to the point where maybe people don't realize what we do anymore. We've gotten new TFD stations. 16 is the newest one over here at the Joint Dispatch Center, and that serves our area and our side also. So it's a combination of TFD is our primary responding units to the counties, and then the volunteer organizations are the backup. We are the mutual aid to TFD. So a lot of people, I think, have the idea that TFD has taken over the counties, but they've always been there, but so have the volunteers. So we see more TFD people. We see more. We have actually added an additional person to our station at Station 12 from TFD. So I think there's been the decline, just the realization of the need of what the volunteers do. So we have aging out. We've had lots of older members, you know, move on. But we just don't have the response from the community thinking that they have a role to play in the county volunteer fire department.
Yeah, so what does that do when you have that few folks who are in a position to respond and the call comes in that maybe, yeah, okay, Station 16 is rolling on this, but you guys actually are a little bit closer. They got to come from all the way out there on Capitol Circle. You guys are right there in town, essentially.
Well, exactly. Remember now, Station 12 is also TFD, and we have a tanker there and a brush truck in addition to their rescue and their tanker. But as you go further out in the county, you get further away from Station 12, Station 16, and Station 6 on Appalachia Parkway. Our territory basically runs from Highway 90 down to Tram Road on the eastern side of Leon County. So as you go further out, there is that now delay and potential life-saving responses. If we can position a volunteer out there that is medically or fire-trained with an AED perhaps, you may be sitting next door to the person that's going to save your life. Now we're having to wait longer from the response to come from either EMS at the station, Station 12 on Chairs Road. You can't count on them being there within that 5 minutes if you live further out in the county. So the volunteers have always been that backup. They've been the person that would come out middle of the night, maybe be 2 blocks away as opposed to 3 miles away. So that's what's happening. We're seeing that decline in the immediate response. Plus, we also see a higher usage of in-town resources coming to our fires. Yesterday, we unfortunately had a house trailer fire in off of Jefferson Road, far eastern Leon County. And so we had the Station 12 equipment. We had Station 16 equipment. We had the tanker one from downtown because there are no fire hydrants out that way. But our tanker was there, and we delivered over 10,000 gallons of water in a tanker shuttle back and forth to keep them flowing. So that resource, just the fact that we were able to roll our tanker, which is 2 firefighters helping, was a major asset. If we had more, we could have actually sent one of the in-town units. 16 could have probably cut off early, and gone back into town and be available for other calls. So you see a drop-off in the actual response equipment to scenes. So
yeah, we won't get into the impact it can have on people's home insurance. Being in a proximity to a responding fire company can have a pretty significant impact on what you're actually shelling out for home insurance.
Indeed. We do have an auxiliary station 30 on Williams Road, and so that helps to defray the cost of homeowners insurance for our southern members in our county. But we would like to see that county station expanded because right now it's unmanned. It does have an engine in it, but if we could actually get that larger, if we could get a couple of people to stay there overnight, now we could have even more response, quicker times, you know, and probably get those rates down even lower.
No, I have a feeling that and Jerry Bush, Chief Parks, is not the only guy who's having a little recruitment problem with his areas there. All the volunteer fire companies needing some additional folks? Or
I think they could all use a helping hand, and I just wanted to say hats off to all the volunteer firefighters out there. I mean, they run into burning buildings when I'm running out. That is a great example of a highly skilled citizen. Going through hours and hours of training, being on call 24 hours a day, getting up in the middle of the night, missing meals with their families, and their families miss sometimes valuable family time. So we can't overstate the importance of our volunteer firefighters and the sacrifices that they make. And, you know, when you look up and you're in an accident and you see it's a volunteer firefighter first on the scene sometimes, you know, it's very comforting. You want somebody. And the truth of the matter is, whether it's a paid professional or a volunteer, they're trained to that same level of skill. There's no difference. And that's the beauty of volunteers. They bring with those skills, their assets, their passion, just like professionals do, which is a great partnership.
Yeah, and for any little boy or little girl who has always dreamed of being a firefighter or an emergency medical technician or that performing that kind of thing, here is an availability for you. You can realize your childhood dream with just a simple call to either Chief Parks or Jerry Bush. Or we're going to talk some more with Ellen here since her time with us is limited here today as we continue our discussion of volunteerism on WFSU-FM's Perspectives, 414-1234. The local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org. The email. We'll be right back. Are back on Perspectives, and your participation is voluntary. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. You don't have to pay to be a part of this show. And a reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. You just go to that address, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then click Perspectives, because we archive past shows. We try to have the latest program up within a few hours of when it actually airs. Back to United Partners for Human Services here, Ms. Ellen. Talk about a little bit of how you guys do the recruitment here for the many community needs that you're tied in with. And where do these folks come from? Just over the transom, say, hey, I want to help out.
Well, yes. And a lot of people are inspired by something in their own lives that they have an interest in. And they are interested in making a difference in their community. They don't want to wait around for problems to be solved in Washington or at the Tallahassee Capitol building. They want to roll up their sleeves and get the work done and work collaboratively to solve local problems. So, you know, I have a great story of Marthine Woodward of the Epilepsy Association of the Big Bend. She and her husband moved in 1994, I think, to Tallahassee. Their daughter had epilepsy, found that there were no resources locally, and they started this, you know, local nonprofit agency. She was a volunteer for the last whatever number of years. And now they serve over 200,000 people with epilepsy in our region. So it's like a very simple story, but one that just shows what the power of volunteers can do, and also that volunteers zero in on a problem that they want to solve. I think, you know, the firefighters are a great example of that. There's a need, there's a problem, let's work collaboratively to figure it out. So I see that people really become inspired by something that touches them, in either through something that a family member has gone through, who they've gone through, or simply that, you know, they want to serve a certain population they have a passion for the elderly. We, you know, depend strongly on volunteers to help deliver meals to homebound elders, for example. Or you might have a passion for you know, babies, infants, and, you know, Brehon Family Services helping pregnant women have great birth outcomes and have healthy babies. So there's, you know, there's all kinds of different areas that people can get involved. And it's very easy. They simply have to, I mean, I think Volunteer Leon is a great place to start. They have a great matching program, but they can also call directly the agencies. Every agency is well versed in training volunteers, orienting volunteers, and getting volunteers involved in the right way. But if people don't know where to start, I think Volunteer Leon is a great place where they can start. And but what I really want to say is that it, you know, I gave a lot of statistics or data about, you know, the number of hours and how much money that is. But really what's important is that people need to feel the sense of place and that they're working together. And so it's not only that we're benefiting as the nonprofits, as the human service agencies, but the individuals. There's numerous research that shows just in terms of your own quality of life, if you volunteer, your quality of life also improves. And not to mention, you know, maybe if you're a younger person, you know, being exposed and having some career exposure is also helpful.
That networking thing is always a big component here. If you're looking to make a career change and if you don't know anybody, it can make that situation a lot more difficult. But you get out and move around, meet
exactly.
People.
That's right.
A big deal. Jerry Bush, we were talking out in the lobby before we got this thing started, and with the anticipated cutbacks in funding on both the federal and now the state level, we've been following down at the Capitol what's going on with the budget deliberations and coming up a little short. Revenue Estimating Conference meets tomorrow. It is likely that we will have a few million, many millions of dollars less to spend on things than what was originally expected. More opportunities, certainly, for volunteerism to fill those gaps?
There's a greater need to fill those gaps. Our office, the Leon County, has an employee volunteer program, and once a week we take turns going out and we deliver a route. And I read this morning that Meals on Wheels was a potential cut, and I just can't imagine going to deliver to one of our clients and having to say, this is your last meal. I mean, that's concerning, and I think people in this community will join in and say, not in our community, what can we do to help? And that's the strength, citizen engagement, solving problems. That's what people like to do, and if there's a need, they're going to figure out how to fix it.
Yeah, because there's with that particular agency that you mentioned, and I imagine Mark Baldino is,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, we're going to have to put him on the hotline here pretty quickly if there are significant cutbacks in that program for Meals on Wheels, which is delivered here through Elder Care Services.
Correct.
But they have Elder Day Stay and
Day
a number
Stay.
Of other programs that they offer as well, that there's going to be some holes
yeah.
left there.
Yeah, and they're very dependent on volunteers, as a lot of our agencies. The American Red Cross, I mean, they are a volunteer organization, and we need them to respond during disaster. Like so many other agencies during disaster, we need people to, first of all, become trained ahead of time, which was really helpful. Leon County, we used volunteers in our Emergency Operations Center. AmeriCorps team came in, and I think we ran 110 hours straight. We went around the clock. It was citizens. AmeriCorps team, city and county staff, we did what we needed to do. And I think that if there's an opportunity out there to serve and there's a need, especially during disaster, because people want to help, my advice to people is to get engaged now. Get some training because there's nothing better than a trained disaster volunteer that can hit the road running and serve people in crisis.
Well, speaking of training, Chief Parks, you had mentioned before the fact that volunteer first responders are every bit as well trained as professional or paid responders there. And that may scare some people off. Think, my God, you know, am I going to have to go back to school and have 15 credit hours of, you know, jaws of life training? Or how does that work?
Well, that's kind of interesting. And I do want to say that we're not necessarily trained to the exact same level as a paid firefighter. When I first joined back in 2006, the state of Florida actually changed the requirements for volunteers and made volunteer firefighters who want to actually fight fires to be certified to at a firefighter one level. To be a paid firefighter, you must be trained to a firefighter two level. So we are just a little bit less than fully, you know, paid firefighter training. Now, that doesn't mean you're any less of a firefighter, but it does mean that you don't go through as much training. And I think that's one of the things that really started to impact the fire service, mm-hmm. the volunteer fire service, all around the county, of course, and throughout the state of Florida. There's places now in Florida that relied strictly on volunteers. We're about 45% of all firefighters in Florida. And now you must be trained to firefighter one level. That impacted the smaller communities, the smaller counties in major ways. So 240 hours. If you want to be a volunteer firefighter one and go interior and fight live fire, 240 hours worth of training. If you want to be a paid firefighter, it's more. It's over 300 hours. So that's one of the situations that we're looking at right now, is trying to get somebody to join up and basically spend 240 hours worth of training.
And that's spread out over what period of time?
Well, fortunately, at a firefighter one level, you're not really required to finish that. Then you've got a year, 2 years if you want to take that long. So, and we can help do that. Leon County has been very good in providing us the funding to help push our people through the firefighter one level training. So if you want that kind of training, if you want to be a full-on firefighter, that's what it's going to take. Fortunately, and we've been looking at how this has impacted us directly, there are things that you can do. If you want to drive a fire truck, you do not have to be a firefighter one. We can have you trained and trained in EVOC, which is Emergency Vehicle Operations Certification, and you can drive a fire truck. And so you can deliver water. You can pump water. You can help suppress fires without ever getting close to the actual fire. So there's things you can do with a lot less training. And that's one of the approaches with Roger coming on board that we're going to try to take, is to let people know that you can specialize. Before, it was firefighter or nothing, because we want you fully trained. We want you to be available to do everything. We'll take you for 2 hours a week. You show up to one fire, drive a truck. If you want to just do EMS, there's a 40-hour emergency responder training. Now, you're not going to be an EMT. That's going to take 9 months or longer, plus a lot of certifications. We can't provide that level service anyway. We are first responders only. So you need a 40-hour class and show up with an AED, a bottle of oxygen, and you've saved somebody until the ambulance actually gets there. So that's something that we can offer the community, and we can offer our volunteers that come in a lot less training than it would take to become a full-fledged firefighter. But if you want to be one, we'll help you get there too.
Oh, that's great. I want to drive the truck.
Okay. Tom, you're hired.
Woohoo! Ellen Pickle-Kavich, I know you have to take off here. If any final thoughts here before you run off to the board meeting, that you are such a busy gal.
And I apologize for that. It's just been a great conversation, but I really do want to impart to people that, you know, opportunities are out there. You can make a difference. You don't have to commit a lot of hours. I think that, you know, to make a difference, it could even be an hour a week. The agencies really like consistency. So you commit, then they like long-term volunteers, not somebody that just comes in for a day. But even there's some projects that, you know, you might be putting backpacks together for summer with food for school kids, and that might be a day project, or might be delivering food at one of the mobile food trucks from Second Harvest. So that may be a very specific duty, but they do like people to commit. But it can be, people should not be afraid of you know, what, how many hours this is going to take. It really can be very minimal but very significant. And they should look to what they're passionate about and get involved, because, you know, they can really see the results. You know, Ability First, for example, this last year with volunteers, solely with volunteers, put in 100 wheelchair ramps. I mean, they built wheelchair ramps, and how significant that is for somebody who's in a wheelchair. So just those kind of things, huge difference for our community, but for individual people's lives.
And follow your passion, and just even a couple hours a week can be, make a really big difference.
Absolutely. So if anybody has an interest out there, call Volunteer Leon.
That's right.
Give the number, Jerry.
www.leoncounty.org. That's right.
And, you know, I have to do a great shout out to Leon County as well, because they do, on 9/11, they do a national day of remembrance. And in that day of remembrance, they focus on volunteers and doing a project in the community. And with that, maybe I'll let Jerry explain that, because, again, that's a day. It's a way that it organizes the community in a way to remember and honor 9/11, but in a way that you're giving back to your community.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks, Ellen. Really appreciate it. And I thank you so much for coming in and sharing all that with us today.
Thank you.
Okay. Jerry Bush, well, let's talk about that Day of Remembrance,
yeah,
and some of the activities that surround that, because if there was one, at least in most of our living memories here,
yes,
one time when the entire nation was united in one mind, it seemed, was in the wake of that horrific tragedy.
Yeah. And what Leon County is trying to do is take that day of tragedy and turn it into a day of giving back and service and uniting people through volunteer. I'm very proud to be associated with this project. And at the 10th anniversary of 9/11, we created the Day of Remembrance and Service. And every year we pick a project and a neighborhood, and we do some revitalization. We have a community conversation. We go in and we talk to informal leaders. You know, what can we do together? And a few years ago, we did Crown Ridge Estates. We revitalized 35 homes, over 150 volunteers and county staff. And it was just a way for the neighborhood to come together and meet each other. And part of it is teaching people. You don't have to wait for a one day. Kind of the sustainability behind this is they got to know each other. And they call me every year and say, you know, we're doing our day of service, which to me is the best success. We follow up the day of service with the Day of Remembrance, which is annually held at the College of Law. And Holland and Knight, one of our community partners for all these years, has done the taken on the responsibility of doing the military care packages. And so volunteers, after that event is over, can put together those packages. We have a section where our community can write letters and personal notes to our soldiers overseas. We have a One Blood that comes down. We have nonprofit agencies there to connect people with opportunities to continue to serve. So Leon County, when it comes to remembering the tragedies of that event, I think does very, very well in upholding and honoring the lives that were lost through volunteer service.
G Parks, we can't forget also in connection with that, the incredible heroism of the first responders in all of the attack scenarios. And I remember being riveted like everyone else watching this unfold on national TV at the time. And one of the initial commentators on the newscast we were monitoring was predicting or speculating that the attack on the World Trade Center, because of the number of people who worked in those two towers, was going to be tens of thousands of people.
That's right.
And yet the first responders got up there, began the evacuation process. It would have been far more horrific if those brave men and women had not given their lives to try to get people out of that situation.
Oh, indeed. I mean, it was amazing to see, even on the TV, the firefighters running towards the burning buildings. I mean, it's just incredible to think of the heroism that they had and just approaching that situation, where I think a lot of people would have said, you know, there's not much you can do, but nobody gave up. Over 200 firefighters died in that day, and it's It's one of those things I think that has steeled the resolve of the fire service is that you can make a difference even when everything seems lost. You are the one that people are going to look to. And you just can't – I don't know where you buy that kind of courage. It's incredible.
The at the Day of Remembrance, Holland and Knight, our partners, one of their partners in New York City, Glenn J. Winnick, after he secured their building, he was a volunteer firefighter for 20 years. He got all his people out, went downstairs, went to a fire truck, showed a certification, put the gear on, went into Tower 2, and never came out. And we have an award in his honor. And every year we nominate people from our community that help uphold that sense of courage and bravery that Glenn Winnick did. So, you know, locally, it's quite important for us with the connection of Holland and Knight to honor his memory.
But you don't have to wait for an attack on the nation to be a hero. You can
do little
bits of heroism.
Exactly.
The mobile home fire that you guys knocked down yesterday. Who knows what could have come out of that? But you were there. You took care of it.
Definitely. That's the one thing you want to realize is that you – it may seem extremely dangerous, but there is so much that can go on that you can do without putting yourself in that line of danger. So don't discount what they do, but realize that we don't want you to be a hero. We're not going to tell you that you're going to put your life at risk every day. You know, come out, talk to us. You know, let us show you what you can do, what you can participate with, and let's put your skills to use.
Yeah, lots of ways to be modest heroes in our own way as we talk about volunteerism here on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. Want to hear your stories of volunteerism, 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, talking about volunteerism, whether it is the need really to help friends and neighbors through the efforts of a volunteer fire company, and telling Chairs Capitola Chief Joe Parks about growing up in my little hometown, which still to this day is fully, with the exception of a paid dispatcher that I think the county pays for, totally volunteer fire company. And when the call comes in, the sirens in the town go off and all the volunteer folks, whether they're working or they're at home or whatever, they come out and they hop on the truck as it blasts by and heads to the fire. And they take care of it and they come back, take off the gear, wash their face, and boom, they're back at work or at the house. And it is just remarkable to see. Talk about a well-oiled machine. That's the way you guys do too, right?
Very
sort of?
Yeah, kind of sort of. I mean, nobody's paid. We do have dispatch from Leon County Joint Dispatch Center. So we are dispatched at the same time that Tallahassee Fire is, same time that Leon County EMS. And so nice thing is we have pagers. So, you know, you're sitting at home, middle of the night, it's going to go off. You also have a radio. And so you'll probably take your personal vehicle straight to the scene if it's closer, or if not, you're going to stop by the station, grab an apparatus, and we will see you at the emergency. And fortunately, not as many fires as there used to be. So we're down to probably about 20% of our calls being fire-related, 80% being medical or emergency rescue, you know, car accidents and so forth.
Yeah, a lot of new construction, that seems to – new houses don't tend to burn as much as older ones.
Thank goodness. You know, the fire fireproofing, the building construction, it's so much better than what it used to be. Plus, I mean, think about the habits that people have now that are different from what they were in the past. Nobody smokes in bed that I know. Okay.
I hope not.
Was the last time? Was the last time you did any deep fat frying on your stove? You know, with
that's true.
With better, you know, activities that people are participating in their health and you know, everyday activities, people are a lot less likely to burn their house down.
That's true. And a lot of people don't even cook at home anymore. You see,
where
are we going to eat tonight?
That's why they have drive-thrus.
Yeah. That's why God invented pizza.
That's right.
Jerry Bush, now I'll start off here because I really want to hear from some listeners who may have had some really uplifting experiences in volunteering. I did a fill-in, I guess it was about for 6 months before I got this also night shift job that I have to do. But it was so much fun to go into the Leon County Main Library downtown and work the reference desk. That was a blast. I met a lot of really nice people. Met some interesting characters too, especially as you're doling out the assignments there for the online capability.
Yeah.
You know, as some folks, you know, they were kind of moving through the area there, and you'd have to go over and just say, no, we don't want to go on those sites, okay? They go, oh, yeah, okay, fine. That was a blast. I enjoyed that so much.
Well, thank you for your service. We're really proud of our library volunteer program. You can walk in any library branch or the main library, and you'll find volunteers working there. It's a very popular opportunity. In fact, we have more people wanting to serve them right now than we can fill, and that's just called good volunteer management. There's so many volunteers that, you know, a staff can supervise, and part of the experience is that you have a good experience when you're volunteering and that you're well cared for and trained properly. And they are kind of the cornerstone of the library. And I think I've been with Leon County 25 years. There's a volunteer that is still there, checking out books at circulation. She's like a fixture. I, you know, it's just amazing to me. And people are passionate about their libraries in this community. And that's one area that they just love to serve in. It's a pleasant environment. Our staff is terrific to work with. Volunteers don't stay if they're not treated well. And part of the secret of good volunteer management is making people feel appreciated, wanted, and needed. And part of what we do with Leon County, and we also teach a volunteer management certification course, is the highest form of recognition is being volunteer ready. You don't want to walk into an organization and they're not prepared for you. They don't know who you are. They haven't thought about what you're going to do. You feel like you're in the way. So those are the types of things that we work on with nonprofits to say, these are busy people. They're here. They chose your organization. And here are the steps that you need to put in place before that first volunteer walks in the door.
Boy, that is a critical service. I'm just thinking of all the nonprofits we have in this town, which probably is more per capita than any other city in Florida, and how much of an administrative challenge that can be to set up a good volunteer program.
You know, it's like any other program that you run. I think a lot of people look at us and say, boy, that's a fun job. It is, but it's the same thing that every other department goes through. We do the budget. We do managing people and volunteers. I mean, there's no shortcuts to all of this. It's a very pleasant job because I have people coming every day saying, I want to help. You know, I mean, it's a great way to have a career in this community because I meet so many great people. And there's really nothing better than watching them feel needed and enjoy their success as well. You know, and Ellen was talking earlier about commitment to organizations. And a lot of people have busy lives, and there are opportunities to serve. We call them episodic volunteering. There are a lot of community events that happen that you can sign up and do. You can volunteer as a family. It's important to make time to do that with your schedule because we want you to commit to something and show up. So one of the tips that we give you is, you know, find what you're passionate about. If you want to learn something new, if you want to test a career, if you're bored, these are all legitimate reasons for getting out and serving your community. You'd be a little selfish about what you'd like to do. And then you just kind of go in there, do the best you can. And if you sign up, you show up. If you're going to be sick, you let them know. And this is why, especially in Leon County government, we have over 5,000 volunteers who contribute over 100,000 hours a year.
Incredible.
And our staff works very well with our volunteers, and we tell volunteers when they come in, you don't show up, we get backed up. So we ask for this commitment. If you can't make this commitment, we'll find something else for you to do, which again speaks to the library program that's been around for a very, very long time and really it's kind of the shining star of volunteer programs.
Yeah, it's nice, though, when you have that luxury of almost too many people in Cheap Park. You don't have that luxury right now.
not at the moment, so send them our way.
Because they're fires. Mm-hmm. You know, well, I just wanted to tell you, I think it's a really good idea that you are breaking it out a little bit so
yes.
that And that's part of the adjustment that all organizations need to make. You need to meet the needs of where people are at in their lives and meet them. So if they know that, gee, I can drive this big fancy fire truck and here's the hours I have to do in training, that's doable. I can do that. So I commend you for looking for creative solutions to bring more of our citizens in.
Exactly. We want to find the resources that people have and
yep.
bring them to our organization. It's not a big commitment. You know, if you have 2 hours a week, you know, mm-hmm. we can bring you in for training. We can get you set up. And then you respond when you're available. Most of the people that are in the department have, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. And
right.
they're there on the weekends. They're there at night. And it's terrible to say, but you know, when do most of the terrible accidents happen? At night.
Of course.
You know, most of the fires are after 5 o'clock when people get home. So it's one of those things that you can, you know, pick out an evening. This is going to be the evening I can respond. And
right.
if something happens, you're there. If not, you know, we'll just wait till next week. And so there's all kinds of opportunities that we can set up for you to participate. We have an air, power, and light trailer. Now, you may have never heard of that, but air, power, and light. So it has a large generator. It's got scene lights. And more importantly, it has the air compressor for the SCBAs that the firefighters use on their backs. We can train you how to fill those bottles. You could be on scene helping those firefighters go into the fire with their air tanks on. And you're the guy that's actually – or you're the girl that's filling them up. And so there's all kinds of things that you can do.
Yeah. There you go.
That is awesome. How do you reach some of those lower demographics, though? Because I was reading something the other day, guys, about the drop-off in back to Alexis de Tocqueville mm-hmm. here, that younger people are not as much joiners as perhaps older generations were. You have groups like Rotary Clubs and Lions Clubs and stuff. They're seeing a big drop-off in their membership, and it's not being backfilled to the degree it used to be by younger folks coming up. It's like, well, that's just like for old folks, and we don't get involved in that. Is that a challenge, Jerry, to reach folks?
Actually, youth have been volunteering in somewhat record numbers. There's service learning in schools. They're encouraging volunteerism in schools. It's a matter of looking for things that they're capable of doing, that they enjoy doing. And we need organizations to open up their doors to young volunteers.
And you have things like, sororities and fraternities here on campus that I know are always scampering around doing all kinds of cool stuff in the community.
I'm glad you mentioned that because Florida State is organizing the big event, which is this Saturday, and their FAMU and all the other organizations, colleges, are joining in. There are going to be thousands of students in our community this weekend volunteering. We're working specifically with Second Harvest. I think we have 87 people scheduled to come there. And again, we met with Second Harvest and kind of carved out what was possible to do so that when they got there, they weren't standing with their hands in their pockets. They were doing viable work. When they got done, they'd feel like they actually did something. They feel good about themselves and creating that win-win situation. So we're really looking forward to having all those college students come out and help our community. And that's their way of saying thank you. This was started in Texas, I believe, and they have like 10,000 students that do this every year. And so we're getting more and more involved with our colleges. And it's also an opportunity for them to have a snapshot look of an organization, and maybe they'll continue to volunteer.
Well, there are a lot of organizations, even commercial business enterprises mm-hmm. that adopt wholesale
yep.
worthy causes. You've got Adopt a Highway program. I'm thinking of that. Every mm-hmm. you get your name on a roadside
yes.
sign. How cool was that? Then you get out a couple hours and you clean things up and boom.
Yeah.
You know, and we hear that from out of state visitors. Boy, we come down here and everything looks so clean.
Yeah, I mean, volunteers are, you know, they help keep neighborhoods, streets, parks, rivers, green spaces clean and safe for everybody. And it's part of who we are in Tallahassee. We love our canopy roads. And it's not unusual to see people out in their neighborhoods picking up trash. Because if they don't do it, it's going to stay there.
Well, yes, and that brings us in a circular fashion back to one of our original suppositions that there will probably be more need for this kind of thing in the future as you have governmental entities backing off because of budgetary constraints. Things will not get done, and yet meals still need to be prepared mm-hmm. and delivered to elderly folks. Fires still need to be fought, all of these sorts of things. And so we're all going to have to kick in a little bit more than perhaps we did before.
Yeah, and we have to be ready to receive those volunteers, and our staffs have to be trained to work with them so that when they get there, they're actually doing what they thought they were going to be doing, and they're trained to do it at the level that they need to be at.
Well, I don't have a feeling you're going to be a busier person than ever, Jerry Bush.
I would love it.
That's great.
Come on in.
Well, up-and-coming things, Chief Parks, as far as the recruitment effort here for Cheras Capitola and indeed for other volunteer firefighting organizations around the area, of which we have, what, six in Leon County? So if you are in one of those outlying areas and you're thinking, gee, I got a couple hours to spare every week, that'd be kind of fun. When I was a kid, I played with fire trucks and stuff, and that would be awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're in Bradfordville, if you're in Miccosukee, if you're in Woodville, there is a volunteer fire department sitting right there wanting you to join. So please look them up. You can go to
Volunteer Leon.
Very good.
Take a look at that. You can give us a call. And it's important that you live in the community in which you want to volunteer.
Yes.
I mean, you don't want to live in Miccosukee and say you're going to volunteer at Lake Jackson. I think that's one of the requirements. Is that right?
Right. You need to be at least within a mile of where our territory is. And it basically follows the county commissioner borders. A little bit different, but pretty much if you live in District 5, you know, you're – in our area.
I just wanted to mention Miccosukee. Jack Heron was a volunteer firefighter, and we started an event, Jack and I and volunteer firefighters. We do an annual day of appreciation for our volunteer firefighters, as well as the education piece and the recruitment piece. And Jack was an instrumental part of starting that event. And so every year it's gotten bigger, and last year we held, and there are several hundred people out there, but it's the kids that
yes.
come out. And it's an opportunity for them to see the big shiny fire trucks, and they put on their little uniforms, and they're you know, talking with volunteers and seeing all that in action. And I kind of wonder how many of those experience that and say, yeah, I'd like to do that someday.
Absolutely.
It's a great event.
That's our big pull. And the one thing that we have as an advantage over, say, TFD, is we'll bring a fire truck to your kid's birthday party. Okay.
I'm writing that down.
Yes.
I got a grandson.
And Cheras Capitola actually has in the past, and unfortunately these past couple of years we haven't been able to do it because we don't have enough members, but Santa Claus comes and rides on our fire engine around our territory. So, you know.
I saw that. If
you're just interested in helping Santa Claus come out to all the neighborhoods in the Cheras Capitola area, basically Eastern Leon County.
Yeah.
Join. We'll take you just for December if you want to come out and help with that.
That's a great opportunity, and I think people would do that.
Yeah. So we have a little bit of flexibility where we can take our engines as opposed to the paid guys. So, you know, come see us.
And see Santa on riding the pumper.
That's one of the things that we are definitely going to try to do again this year.
Okay, so I'm going to tell Jackson for his second birthday, there's a big shiny fire truck coming.
Absolutely.
Okay.
How cool is that, huh?
There you go.
But we'll throw out another way to go here for a big supporter of that event you were talking about, Jerry Bush, mm-hmm. as far as the annual volunteer fire truck roundup. Bobby Bacon, of course, has been doing this for years and years. And so business folk, if you are looking for organizations to assist with their needs, your entire company can be a volunteer.
That's correct.
And that's kind of neat, too. And we're not even getting into tax advantages here, guys, but but there can be some motivation on there. But if you want to use such involvement as a motivator and maybe a training opportunity mm-hmm. and team building exercise for your people, how cool is that?
It's awesome, yeah. And just a shout out to Bobby, too. He started out with Jack and myself, and he's been the sole sponsor for all these many years and never hesitates to do anything that we ask him to do.
Have you ever let him drive the fire truck?
I don't think he's
ever
asked.
That's probably dangerous. I don't know. He probably needs to get some insurance.
He's an insurance guy. He's well covered. Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about it, right?
I think we have one of those push you know, ones that you can...
A remote control ones?
Yeah, you might be able to do that.
You know. Yeah, well, and then now we have drone technology. You can even get one up and look down and to see, you know, anything else that needs knocked down within the building. Hey, you
there
know,
you go.
Absolutely.
Modern technology is coming here. Guys, this has been a blast. Chief Joe Parks of the Chairs Capitola Volunteer Fire Company, thank you so much. And Jerry Bush, Director of Volunteer Leon. Really
thank
appreciate you guys coming in.
A lot of fun. Thank you.
And
thank
also
you,
shout out to Ellen Pikulkiewicz, who was here with us earlier, and thank you so much, Ellen. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, and we had Evan Rossi doing the button pushing back there, as well as Lydell Rawls assisting with our communications. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we'll revisit a concept we tried a few months back when we opened up the program so you could drive the discussion. Lots to talk about. We'll take our discussional cues from you next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.